The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Providence, Rhode Island. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Coming to us from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Massachusetts, is Jeremy Schilling. And of course, Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina by way of Windham, Maine. Jeremy, how are you doing, and where can the fans find you on Twitter/X?
On Twitter, I am at JTShill20. As to how I am very medium. I've never done this segment. I'm a little bit interested to see how it works out.
Oh, it's pretty exciting. Terry, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
Doing well. I can be found at CushmanMLB. And you can find the Facebook account at Terry Talks Sox. And again, we haven't been too active on our blog because we're basically kind of at the tail end of our co-host search. So we'll be probably be getting back into that next week. But you can find our in-print content on the Bastards of Boston Baseball Substack.
Excellent. Right on, Terry. Thank you for the additional information. For this episode of Totally Legit or Calling the Cops, we're going to be presenting a couple scenarios to you, and by to you, I mean to Terrence, to Jeremy, and myself. And it's going to be possibly a fun scenario, Boston-related, maybe not Boston-related, depending on what number we do. And you're either going to agree with it, and you're going to say it's totally legit, or you are going to call the cops. You're going to call the FBI, or as Terry likes to call it, if it's really bad and you disagree, you are calling the Secret Service. So without further ado, Terry, we're going to have you bat lead off on this one. Is this
just
totally
don't call
legit?
The Canton police? Is that an option?
Yeah, I don't think we want to call the Canton police. I mean, maybe if you want to. So
sorry,
totally
I couldn't
legit,
help myself.
That's all good. Totally legit. Are calling the cops. Number one, Terry, the Red Sox end July holding a playoff spot. Do you agree with this? Is this totally legit or do you disagree? Are you calling the cops?
I am going to call the cops. I don't think we will be in possession of any of the wild card spots. You look at the three teams that are in it right now, the Yankees, who are 22 games above 500, Red Sox only five above 500. You got the Twins, exactly 10 games above. They just got their best hitter back. The Royals went on a rough patch there, but they have seemingly, kind of got it back together. They're eight games above 500. And then you have us right below the line. Even if, let's say, the Twins or the Royals fall out of it, the Astros are working their way into it, and they're finally above 500 by a game. They've won 9 out of their last 10. I think they're going to get in there, and it's just going to be that much harder for us to get a spot. Now, the Rays are 42-42, but some of the national writers are speculating that they are shopping some of their starters. So despite the fact they're somewhat back in contention, they've won 7 of their last 10 themselves. It's a hard path for me to get there with the Red Sox. I just think there's too many good teams around us. The American League is a lot better than the National League. And I mean, you look at those rosters, the Yankees, Twins, Royals, and even the Astros, they're far more complete than what we're trotting out there. So I'm calling the cops. I don't think we're going to have a spot.
Understood. Jeremy, do you agree? Do you think this is totally legit that the Red Sox could end July holding a playoff spot? Or do you think absolutely not? I'm going to call the cops. What say you?
I'm calling the cops. And I would say that if the Padres series went a little better and we were up a game and a half instead of down a game and a half, it might be a little bit different. But just quickly, I like us in the Miami series, but then the Yankees, that's going to be a problem. I like us in the Oakland series. I have no idea what's going to happen in the Kansas City series, but then we have the Dodgers. And then in between having the Yankees again, we have Colorado and then Seattle. And I know Terry mentioned in the off-air portion of our podcast tonight that he's not scared by them offensively, but their pitching's really good. And the pressure in that series with the trade deadline occurring on the middle game, obviously a lot has to play out in the next 30 days, but I look at a 500 month at best based on the way it matches up. So I do not think they will be holding a playoff spot. But if we played better in Fenway against the Padres and we had a buffer zone, I would have changed my answer, I think. So I don't think it's such a drastic idea, but I'm calling the cops. I don't think they're going to have a playoff spot as we end July.
So I know there used to be some brouhaha between the two of you, and, you know, you never like to agree with one another. But, Jeremy, I find myself agreeing with you a little bit here at the beginning. Only love here. The Boston Red Sox, I'm going to say that I'm more than calling the cops. I may be calling the FBI, and here's why. The Boston Red Sox, to your point, this is the part that I really agree with you. Maybe if the Red Sox were able to take 2 out of 3 against the Padres, I'd feel in a different state than I am right now. The fact of the matter is we got absolutely destroyed for the first 2 games of that series. And you have Miami, whatever. Then you face the Yankees for 3. That sucks. Oakland for 3. Then Kansas City. And then to end July, LA for 3, to your point, Colorado, whatever, the Yankees for 3, Seattle for 3. That's not a fun setup. The other teams that you have to look at are Kansas City and Minnesota. Who does Kansas City get to play? Colorado, lucky for them. St. Louis, lucky for them. Us, probably lucky for them. And in the second half, they face Chicago, all of Chicago. They face the Chicago White Sox for 6 games. The Cubs for 3, really good matchups for them. Arizona for 3, that might be the only team giving them a hard go. Minnesota gets to play at the end of theirs, their month of July. They get Detroit for 3, Chicago for 3. Houston, San Francisco, they might split that series, but I think they're going to win 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6 against those other teams. And then to end the month of July, Milwaukee for 2, 3 against Detroit, and then 3 against the Mets. Originally, I would have said, oh, it's going to be easy, but lately they've been out of you know, this world. I just don't think that they're going to be able to surpass either one of those teams, and they're not going to be able to lock down a playoff spot. So that's why I'm tinkering on calling the FBI. The Red Sox are not going to be a 500 team in the month of July either. Jeremy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, just quickly, and I wanted to wait until the 3 of us went. We are going to sell, and all of those good contending teams you mentioned are going to buy. So, you know, my analysis is as the team is currently constituted as we roll into July, because we will roll out of July a much different team, because Breslow's been very clear they're going to sell. And I will be furious.
I hope you don't hurt anybody, because you strike me as someone that is a little bit taller than me at the very least. Terry knows that I'm a pretty small dude. Probably the smallest one on the pod, actually, now that I think about it. Because Jason's got to be, what, 5'9", maybe?
He's an inch taller than you, Charlie. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not saying much. And Jeremy's 6'1", 6'2", I'll tell you.
6'5".
Yeah.
Okay, you're a foot taller than
Jeremy. Jacks up the average height of the whole podcast by like 3 inches. He makes us all appear a little taller.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's incredible. Yeah, I'm with you, Jeremy, and it's you know, again, agreeing with you, and it's I don't like agreeing with you because I'm with you and I agree that the Red Sox are not going to be in a place where they're going to start acquiring talent and being buyers. They're just not. And even if they were, they're not going to beat the Orioles. They're not going to beat the Yankees. They're not going to beat the Guardians. And they're not going to be beating another 3, 4, 5 teams in the National League. So yeah, they're going to be sellers. It makes absolute sense. Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
Last point, even if they buy, they won't buy as seriously as other contenders. It'll be fringe pieces while they try to do this buy-sell nonsense. I don't know if I'm going to be on whatever podcast ends the month of July, but I'm requesting formally to be on that podcast.
I'm with you on that, Jeremy.
Well, we often do emergency episodes, so...
That is going to be an awesome episode for those fans that are listening. It's going to be epic. Cause yeah, it's going to be, you know, unfortunately epic for possibly all the wrong reasons. So let's move into our second topic here. Terry, we'll have you go first again for this one. Is this totally legit? Do you agree or are you going to call the cops and you disagree? Tyler O'Neill plays 19 of the 24 games in the month of July. Do you agree, totally legit, or disagree calling the cops?
I'm going to call the cops. You know, is he healthy is going to be one thing. Is he going to be striking out 60% of the time as he did in this series? That's another thing. I guess what it's going to hinge on the most is how hot is Willy Abreu? Because Duran is playing all 162 games. He and Rafaela, they want to join that club. Cora's letting them do it. So they're going to take two of the outfield spots. So I don't see how... O'Neill, even if he's healthy, I don't see how he gets there. Ref Snyder needs time. Abreu will probably force his way into the lineup if he's hitting well. That's too much. I feel like hard to justify it. Call the cops.
Fair enough. Jeremy?
I'm not ultra confident in this take. But I think this is going to happen. I think it's totally legit. And I'm going to tell you why. Tyler O'Neill is on a 1-year deal. Guys in this position, you can add Pivetta. You can add Jansen. You can add Martin. Have to play well to either prolong their career or get to a contender. We talked in the recap show about how Pivetta's last 4 starts have really hampered his ability for either his trend for performance or his ability to be marketable to other teams so that he can go get on a contender, because we probably will not be contending after this month. Tyler O'Neill's in that spot. And I don't know how he's going to perform, but if he's healthy-ish, he's going to want to play. He's going to want to put himself out there to make himself as marketable as possible to further his career. So that's why I'm saying this is totally legit. Now, he could be traded on the 27th, having played 18 games, and I'm wrong. But I think for purposes of the importance of the month to this player, also I don't have a personal grudge against him like Terrence does. I think it's totally legit. That was a little shot at Terry, if you couldn't tell.
So, Jeremy, you know, I always thought you were smart, and I always thought, you know, you make sense. And
we're 2 hours in, and I'm going to tell you guys to get a room at this point.
You know, I'm just going to say this. I think I'm
Terry's jealous, Charlie. Don't let him bother.
He's very jealous. I don't know. It's okay, Terry. We go way back. I think that you're both right, and I'm erring on the side of caution by saying you're possibly both wrong. And I reserve my right to change my opinion. I'm going to do this for the very first time or second time on the show. For all the reasons that you said, Jeremy, you're absolutely right. But it would not surprise me if there is an injury which hinders him. Barring that injury, you're absolutely right. There's no player playing in that outfield that needs to prove himself more right now without the injuries, without saying, okay, I'm not a boom or bust guy, than O'Neill. O'Neill strikes out either half the time like he did in the month of May, and then in the month of June, it went from, you know, one out of two at-bats to one out of every three at-bats. It still was not pretty. But the home runs came back, which was great. So I think that out of 24 games, he's going to miss it by one. I think he's going to end up playing in 75% of those games. He's going to miss it by one. And I actually am really, really looking forward to the next time that we get to talk about it, kind of like a recap of this one, because I'm curious if I'm going to be way wrong or if I'm going to be, you know, right. And he's going to hit 18. I think I'm going to be calling the cops, but I agree with everything Jeremy said, and I hope he's right. So I'm calling the cops on paper, but I want Jeremy to be right on this one. Terry, you had something to add.
The thing none of us have mentioned yet is, what if he gets traded on July 20th? Then it's not happening.
I mentioned that.
Oh, did you? My bad.
Yeah.
For some reason it always goes over my head. It's one of those things where if he's hot and you've got a deal, I mean, you're not getting a massive haul for O'Neill. I mean, in terms of like massive hauls, I would probably rank him the third out of the four that we could sell. I think Pivetta gets you the most, then Jansen, or you could flip flop him. I guess it could work out either way, but that's your one and two in whichever order. Then I've got O'Neill, then Martin.
Wait, hold on for 2 seconds. I have to interject and I apologize. Usually we have like a code for, I have something I want to say, but I got all 10 phalanges out. You think that Nick Pivetta would net you a higher yield than Jansen, who's been one of the best closers in baseball for the past, I don't even know how many weeks?
Even though
he's 36 and he's owed $60 million.
I'm calling the cops on Terry's take there on Pivetta versus Jansen.
You think Jansen takes the bigger? Like I said, I don't have strong feelings on one way or the other.
So anyone who hasn't listened, go listen to the recap show, because I'm not going to restate it. But his last four or five starts have been trash. He hasn't been good. So whether it's clown takes or a call on the cops, I think you're absolutely wrong. Jansen has been one of the best closers in baseball going on 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 months. And the importance of that position on a contender is so much more heightened, because that's one of the most difficult spots to fill on a roster, where you could go get a third or fourth starter on any number of teams that are fading that have been pitching better than Nick Pivetta has.
Well, two things. Like I said, I don't – maybe Jansen does get the bigger haul, but here's the problem: is there's going to be way more relievers out there than there's going to be starters. So Jansen's in a more, saturated market. Most teams are going to look at Nick Pivetta and be like, well, we can fix him. We're just going to do this with him. We're going to incorporate this. And chances are he's going to be, you know, he'll be pitching a lot better. A lot of teams are going to be looking at what the Rangers did last year with Jordan Montgomery. They're looking for that type of effect with Nick Pivetta. And so there's just not as many quality starters out there as there will be relievers. So I think Pivetta can command a bigger haul.
Could. So we're living in the world of could, maybe, if. That's not fact. Whereas I'm looking at numbers. So there's an expression that I also live by. Numbers don't lie. People do. Kenley Jensen's numbers have not lied in the month of June. He has been absolutely electric. I understand that you're saying that there could be a team out there that says, we can change him, we can tweak him with the high upside and hopeful high reward. Or you go with the proven closer who is already established, fearless, and is not making any mistakes, that doesn't need any tinkering. And while his shelf life may not be as high, could be your potential closer or eighth inning guy to support your closer. And that's like one of the two missing pieces that you need. Kenley Jensen would fit perfectly on a handful of teams. You'd be stupid to not want Kenley Jensen. It's probably going to come with it might not be the greatest haul because it's $16 million of salary. Granted, the team taking him on won't have to pay all that. But I think that depending on the team, they may not be as in love with Nick Pivetta as they would be with possibly Kenley Jensen. That's all.
I mean, it just depends on, you know, the teams involved. I mean, look at the Astros. They've got Verlander and Javier on the injured list.
Right.
And they've got a bat. Their bullpen's underperformed with Presley and Hader. But which one are they going to be gunning for? It's going to be Pivetta.
Probably.
That's the guy they covet. If the Braves come calling, they want Pivetta. They don't want Jansen. So the demand is just going to be so much higher for starting pitching. Now, but don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't have strong feelings. I'm just making the case here, and I think I can make a pretty strong case you're going to get a pretty good haul for Pivetta.
Okay.
I'll just say I hope you're right on both.
Now,
and if Pivetta puts together, I mean, we've got some bad teams coming up. I don't know where he aligns. I think he does start game three of the Marlins series. So then he's going to miss the Yankees, play Oakland. So he's got some chances here to put up some good numbers to potentially boost that value a little bit.
Yeah. Again, we're talking about the potential again, but what if he faces those two teams, like you just said, and gets blasted? You know,
well, I'll say this
prime ticket.
Jansen's more likely to have a better July than Pivetta. So
I agree. And you know what number he still has a big old zero on for the season? Kenley Jensen
home runs.
We've talked about it all year. Not one home run allowed. He has been spot on. And yes, it takes 14 minutes for him to throw a pitch from that delivery. Still doesn't give up home runs.
Credit to Duran, though, for keeping that intact, because he caught one at straightaway center in the last series.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving into number three, Jeremy, I don't know if you're feeling freaky deaky, but if you want to take a chance at going lead off on this one, totally legit. Do you agree or calling the cops? You disagree. If the Red Sox are sellers, Cora still finishes out 2024. As the manager for the Boston Red Sox. Is this totally legit? You agree? Are you calling the cops? You disagree?
I'm calling the cops. He's proven his worth. The month of June was very kind to Alex Cora. Whether you pick specific games and how he affected matchups, how the team has responded, how he has challenged the front office and ownership to buy, he gets a ton of credit. He is going to get a huge deal. I think he gets potentially a record-setting manager deal. He's done what he has to do. If the Red Sox as an organization quit on this roster, I think it's more likely than not that he goes. The only reason why I think he stays is if they continue to win games. And I do think he's the type of person that would have the I owe it to the guys in the clubhouse mentality, which goes to his character, which goes to why I like the guy, which goes to why I want him to be the Red Sox manager, which is why I want them to buy to give yourself a chance to keep Alex Cora around. I just know it's not going to happen because management blows and the front office is just holding their jockstrap. So here's what's going to happen. We've already predicted it. I think we all agreed we're going to be a sub 500 team. We're not going to hold a playoff spot. We already know the BS around the playoff probability odds and how management just loves that. If they go what I think they're going to go, which is under 500, and they're going to be probably five or six games out of it, out of the last wild card spot, and they sell, I would not be surprised if they do the Bill Belichick Patriot thing and say, we've mutually agreed to part ways move. I think that's more likely what's going to happen here than not. So that's my prediction.
Terrence, thoughts?
Let me, I forget exactly how we worded it. So, I think Alex Cora will more likely than not finish the season. So is that totally legit?
So you think it's totally legit?
Totally legit. So the big wild card here is the trade deadline. How, like you were alluding to, Jeremy, how does he react to how the Red Sox handle the deadline? Does he get so mad that he wants out? And I think Breslow would grant that if that's what Alex Cora wanted. But for Cora, it comes down to optics. I think it simply looks better for him if he finishes out the season. Now, on the flip side, and that's what I think is going to happen, but on the flip side, if I'm wrong, a huge benefit to leaving early is he can kind of start negotiating with teams at that point and maybe have a tentative deal in place by, say, September 1st. So that would be an advantage to leaving early rather than finish the year. And the big thing with the Red Sox is they're taking a PR hit. When do you want to take it? You know, do you want to take it in August or do you want to take it on October 4th when things don't, you know? So I don't know, but I'm looking at it.
Point.
I'm looking at it from the optics standpoint for Cora. He's been the good soldier. He's a shrewd politician. He could finish out the season. I think he's gonna get a record deal no matter if they finish last or they go on this insane run with a deep October. He's getting the record deal either way. So it's hard for me to see him not finishing out the season. Another benefit for Charlie gives his take. I don't think Veritek's the guy in waiting, but if I'm wrong, you can kind of see what it looks like for a couple of months. That could be a mutual benefit to Cora leaving. But officially, I'm saying it's totally legit. He'll finish out the year.
I am going to say it's totally legit as well. I think that if the Red Sox are sellers, which I think, you know, Jeremy, you and I both, we're going to be, you know, punching rocks and walls and my hands will be broken and you'll need a new wall. Cora will end up being there still at the end of the year. That just clicked, right? Yeah. So Cora's going to be there at the end of the year. It's going to be tough. And to your points again, I mean, this is the benefit of going forth here. I agree with you guys. I think he's going to have a record setting deal to be a manager. He's going to follow in the footsteps of Council. I'm not going to be shocked if it's in the range of 9 to 10 million, 9.5 million for 5 or 6 years, and could become the first manager to eclipse the $50 million threshold. It would not surprise me. And I don't think it's him getting the only way it doesn't happen. It's not gonna be him stepping down. It's him getting fired. I still don't think it happens because there are no other options. There are no other options. And I think the players are starting to rally around Cora more than we might think. And so I think that just to save face, to your point, Terry, I know it's going to be bad during the season or in August. Ownership probably would want to do it now so that way they can kind of recover before next season. But I can't picture another person managing this team for the remainder of the year. Another manager would not change the outcome of this Boston Red Sox squad. Jeremy.
So in this week's interview by WEEI of Craig Breslow, there was a question posed, and I've been trying the last 3 minutes I've spent trying to remember the question. I can't remember the question, but it was something to the effect of, does Alex Cora as manager give the Red Sox the best chance to win moving forward this year and beyond? And Breslow refused to answer the question. He gave some roundabout nonsensical thing that ultimately ended with, we're going to have discussions in the off season. The radio host, I don't listen to WEI, so I don't remember his name.
Greg Hill.
Called him on it. Credit to this guy. He called him on it. He said, Breslow, that's not an answer. I'm not talking about his contract. I'm saying irrespective of his contract, does this manager with his style give you a chance? And he refused to answer the question. I think the decision's already been made. I'm not saying I'm right or I'm wrong. I'm just saying I think it's anecdotal that the guy that's ultimately going to have the decision in his hands is already kind of letting you know what's going to happen, as has Alex Cora in previous interviews throughout the season.
It's the easiest thing to extend him. Like, if you want him, it gets done. You're gonna have to pay him what the market is, and it's about $50 million, and they're not doing it.
Well, Terry, how about you say Alex Cora is one of the best managers in baseball. We like him. It's a two-way street. That's it. We're going to deal with it in the offseason. You can't even admit that he's a decent manager. And Terry, I know, Charlie, I don't know if you did, but Terry, I know you listened to the interview because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
So you remember what I'm talking about. It was the biggest cop-out BS answer. And I said to myself, I was on the turnpike headed north in Broward County, Florida. And I said to myself, I officially hate Craig Breslow. It was such a coward cop-out answer. It was such a, and I can't swear, it was such a little, He's a politician.
He's a politician.
You're doing really good.
I just can't speak. Did you see how I lost the ability to speak. Oh my God. What a little just coward piece of blank, man. My God.
See,
you're right though, Terry. He's a politician. And that's what pisses me off.
And politics.
You know what he does? You know what he does as part of being a politician? He reminds you, I played. Hey, Craig, you were a lefty one out guy. Shut the bleep up. Hey, here's this BS nonsensical answer, but let me remind you that I played because it thinks I understand what's going on in the clubhouse. Even if you do understand, you don't care. You don't care. You piece of shit. I hate him. God damn it.
We went there. My kids are sleeping and I'm yelling.
Jeremy's full circle. Jeremy's the Alex Cora guy on the show. I'll say this.
How are you not an Alex Cora guy?
I was about to get to that. it's coming, Jeremy. I've got a take. There's always one in the chamber.
Let's hear it.
So I've never not said he's, you know, outside of the top five. He is a top five manager. He's got these annoying quirks that just annoy me, you know, with the days off. We've been the most well-rested last place team of this decade. And that stuff
that
kind of
me too.
That annoys me. His bullpen management, not terrible. I mean, we're all John Farrell survivors. And so I've kind of been looking forward to a new era, but now that we're almost there, like looking back on it and then looking at the politician that Breslow is, you know, the next guy's not going to stand up to him or ownership. The next manager is going to be a puppet for Breslow. I'm not looking forward to that. And you can do a lot worse. There could be some extreme consequences to who that next guy is. So now I find myself, even though the ship has already sailed, kind of leaning, you know, more towards bringing him back, because we're going to get this nerd that's just going to get eaten alive by this fan base.
Or the clubhouse. Because he's perpetrating ownership's propaganda run through the front office, which we know the clubhouse hates. And I guarantee you, we're going to find out at the end of the month how much they hate it. I guarantee you, Devers will not be quiet. I guarantee it.
Probably not.
So here's the thing with Cora. He has so much leverage on the Red Sox. He knows he's about to be the highest paid manager. He was hired by a previous general manager. He has no ties to Breslow. He doesn't care. And once he's gone, for anybody that's like an anti-Cora guy, even if you're on the fence, think about this, and it's Terry's point, not mine. I just want to highlight it. Whoever's coming in is now management through Breslow, infiltrated into the clubhouse with management's directive for the future of the organization. And if that doesn't scare you, you are not paying attention, because you should be absolutely terrified about what that's going to look like. Because guess what? There is no Alex Cora level replacement sitting out there without a job. It's probably going to be some young nerd who says in his interview, "I'll follow the nerds and the statistics and the probability of whatever the situation calls for."
I've got one guy I really like, but we're going to get a Dave Roberts type guy that just doesn't have any authority, really.
Who's the guy?
I like Skip Schumacher, the current manager of the Marlins. I don't know why. I like his presence. I like the way he handles the media. I think the players will, react to him. I have a feeling the Red Sox might want a Hispanic manager, because we're just such a predominantly Hispanic team. I think that's extremely valuable with this organization, having Alex Cora being able to communicate and it's a big thing. So I don't know that Schumacher is the perfect fit in that regard, but I think he's done pretty well with that Miami club. And, he was a player as recently as the last 4, 5, 6 years he was with the Cardinals. So, but, it is what it is. I probably won't get my way either. It's probably going to be someone we're not familiar with that's just going to, let me say this. Being the manager of the Boston Red Sox it's almost a sacred thing. It's almost like the pinnacle of baseball. The only other team that comes close, obviously, is the Yankees. And maybe they even exceed us a little bit. But, man, even in the NFL, like, what team do you want to coach? What's the one team? I don't even know if there's anything that prestigious in the NFL. I could be wrong, but man.
Do you really think that baseball people still believe that?
What do you mean?
The Red Sox are no longer prestigious.
No, I know. And that's the difference. That's what I did a bad job with that. So we've never had a puppet for a manager. It's always been somebody with a lot of clout that was going to come in here and make a difference. And so we're going to go from that to a puppet. I can't believe we're here, but we're about here.
This was fun to listen to. Jeremy, I haven't seen you get this riled up in so long. Okay. This was exciting for me. This was rich. I'm not going to add anything. I'm just going to pleasantly wait to see what happens. And I'm sure there'll be, let's bring Jeremy back to earth because he's like gone completely, mad on.
I hate Charlie. You don't know this how much I hate ownership. I hate him.
Yeah, no.
I hate Breslow.
Yeah.
It's not contrived. This is really how I feel. If you had a private conversation with me, not being recorded, I would feel the exact same way. I hate them.
Wait until they try to tell us that they made a competitive offer for Alex Cora.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite move is like, and they did it with Yamamoto. They're like, it's being reported that the Red Sox were in on Yamamoto. And my reaction is always the same thing. You submitted a formal one-year, $1 million offer so that it has to be said that the Red Sox were in on Yamamoto. It's such and the fact is, I don't think anybody believes it. Like, baseball people really believe it. But to the extent like a local fan might, it terrifies me. Like, it's just such BS. Anyways, I'll stop now.
Yeah, they had he took a tour of every city. The Red Sox had a Zoom interview with him.
That's what we like to say, going above and beyond and exceeding expectations. Just kidding, not even close. But I digress. Let's move into our final one for the evening here. Is this totally legit? Are you calling the cops? Houston ends up winning the AL West. Insert cat throw up here. I just can't do it with Houston. I just can't. Jeremy, if you'd like to lead off, do you agree?
Sure.
Do you think this is totally legit? Or are you going to call the cops and disagree that Houston ends up winning the AL West?
I think it's a foregone certainty. They're 9-1 out of the last 10. Seattle's 3-7 in their last 10. Houston has the pedigree. Seattle does not. Seattle's main pieces are still there. And I don't know what you're going to get from Verlander. I know Terry's going to correct me when I'm ultimately wrong, but he's like 39 or 40 years old. So I really don't know what you're going to get from him. But if he comes back healthy and he can give you 40, 50 innings, including the playoffs down the stretch, he's just a big game guy. They're there every year. I was shocked for weeks as to how they were playing early in the year, and they've completely corrected it. I think they're going to win the West, and I now that they're finally playing well, I'm convinced of it.
Verlander will actually be 41 in February, but and he is on the injured list. I expect he'll be back within the next 2 or 3 weeks, but out at the moment with some sort of a neck issue. I'm going to say it's totally legit. Both teams' strength is the other team's weakness. The Mariners have never had a robust offense, so that's been their Achilles heel. The Astros got tons of offense right now, but they need pitching. And the interesting thing is they're both going to make moves here in July. Jerry DePoto is one of the more aggressive GMs in Major League Baseball when it comes to trades. It's not always blockbuster trades, but he does a lot of wheeling and dealing. So how high is his anxiety going to get as the Astros close the gap here? They're only 3.5 games behind them. So they need a couple of bats, the Mariners do, to really bolster their divisional campaign and to hopefully, you know, win a championship here. I mean, they still have Kirby and Logan Gilbert for a little while, but the window's only going to be shorter after the year. And the Astros got to go get some pitching. And I mentioned Pivetta earlier. I'm sure they look at him as a guy that they could kind of tweak a little bit and get some good production out of. But I'm sure they'll be kind of scanning the market for other guys to acquire. But they know how to do it. They are winners. They've been to the last 6 or 7 straight ALCS. Like,
I'm shocked you don't know this off the top of your head. You're such an Astros lover.
I'm positive on the Astros. I mean, they have knocked us out of the playoffs a couple of times, but they've also prevented the Yankees from winning several championships. So, and I love Jose Altuve. I don't know what it is. He's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, just got his second career ejection. So the mental midget, which was an endearing term we gave to somebody else, that's now playing in Houston. I am just going to say that I am calling the cops on this. And the reason for that being is not because I loathe, because I really hate the Astros. I'm literally pacing because I'm like, Tara, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this. this take by Terry. I don't think the Astros are going to do it. I think that Seattle's 1-2 punch is going to take a step up in the second half. And the other thing above all else is I don't believe that Julio Rodriguez is playing this poorly. I can't buy that he's going to do this for the rest of the season. It makes no sense. And Seattle is one piece away from locking that one up and putting a bow on it. I mean, I really do think that Seattle is the real deal. And, you know, every team hits a rut. That's, you know, the Mets were an absolute joke, but they've been one of the hottest teams in baseball. What's their record? They're like 700 in their last 20 games. If I'm not mistaken, aren't they 14-6 or something like that? The Mets are now 40-41. They're in third place. They're 13.5 games out. They're 5.5 games out behind the Braves, but playing the way that they're playing, there's a chance they could surprise everybody and come in second there in the division. The Mariners currently are 3.5 games above the Astros. They're surging right now. There's no question. But their team is just old. Their team is just old. And yes, they've been there. They've got the pedigree. They've got all that going for them. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm just not. And I think that Julio Rodriguez will figure it out. We all saw what he did last year. I don't remember if it was last August, July, or God, I think it was August when he had the second best month by a player in all of 2023. The only one that was better, do you know who it was? Do you remember? Mookie Betts. So if you look up Mookie Betts' numbers last year, he had one month, I believe he had over 400 and just went off the charts on everything. Julio Rodriguez did the exact same thing. Those two players in those months that they performed were off the charts incredible. So I really do think that Julio Rodriguez, who is one of the best players in Major League Baseball, will right the ship, will figure it out, because he's just not this bad. I don't know what's going on, but he's not comfortable. I just looked it up. So August for Julio Rodriguez, 45 for 105, hit .429, 7 bombs, 30 RBIs, 11 stolen bases, 10 doubles, 19 runs scored. That's stupid. Mookie Betts, and I'm going to say that I think it was the same month. I think it was also August of 2023, and I'm going to fact check myself right now. If I'm wrong, I'm going to, you know, call myself out here. August, 51 for 112, a .455 batting average, 11 dingers, 30 RBIs, 35 runs scored. Julio Rodriguez is him. He is that guy. And I just don't think if Julio Rodriguez is on his A game, there is anybody, with the exception of Kyle Tucker, not Tyler, Kyle Tucker, that can really match him one for one when Rodriguez is on it. So for all the reasons I've mentioned and the fact that I hate the Astros, I'm calling the cops on that one. Anything else that either one of you gents want to add? Yeah, Terry, sure. Let's do this.
I just want to point out there's a pitcher on the Astros staff who's only given up 4 runs in the last 31 innings. Any idea as to who that is?
It's not Framber. It's not Justin. You wouldn't do me like that and tell me it's Justin Verlander.
Nope.
JP France is out, and he's kind of crap this year. What about their rookie guy? They had a rookie last year. Well, I forgot his name.
Probably the guy, Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, that's him. Yeah. That really? 431?
Lighting it up. And then they got that Ronel Branco kid with a 2.49 ERA. He threw a no-hitter earlier this season.
They pulled him from another one. He had 7 innings a couple starts ago.
Yeah, right. He has one officially and then got close that time. Yeah. So, I mean, between those two, Framber's been up and down. He did just get tuned up by the Mets for, I think, 7 or 8 runs. But still a solid guy overall. They just need one really good addition to their rotation, and I think they're off to the races at that point. I trust them more than I do the Mariners.
I know you do. I can't change you. You know, you are your own man, but I can't do it. And Jeremy, you'll soon find out I detest the Astros. And for our preseason prediction episode, Terry's going to laugh. I actually picked the Angels to win 3 years in a row from 2021 to 2023, I think. Shut up, Jeremy. Don't laugh.
That's how much he hates the Astros.
I hate the Astros that much. I think they're a classless organization that never actually got a true punishment. And it's, I mean, if they had, you know, the ringleaders, you know, the Jose Altuves, you know, I don't think George Springer was too much into it. I think it was Jose Altuve, Bregman, you know, they already did their thing with Cora. They fired their manager, but they suffered no punishments. I think you want to send a message. You suspend them for 30 days without pay. If they get suspended for 30 days, you won't hear a peep from me. I would pick the Astros to win, because then if people say, oh, the Astros cheated. Yeah, but they were suspended for 30 days. They served their time. I would be the first one to say it. They served their time.
Charlie,
they,
you're not going to like my nothing. Take here.
All right, hit me, darling. What is it?
Everyone's doing it, and they got caught.
Well, they were the most sophisticated. Like, that's the most. Theirs was, yeah.
Theirs
they
was
were, but there was rumblings that the Red Sox had an Apple Watch situation going on. It was proven, yeah. But they got a slap on the wrist. And look, this is a baseball podcast, but Spygate, when it happened, everyone was doing it. They came down the hardest on the Patriots. And they did the same thing for the Astros, which I think nipped it in the bud for the most part. And now with the sensor thing, like, no one's stealing signs anymore. But it happens in every sport where you're seeking an advantage, no matter how small, it doesn't matter. Everybody's doing it. And so I do agree with the fact that you have to enforce the rules, but I've never taken the position that the team that takes the fall for the violation should be ostracized, because in my opinion, on some level, all teams are doing something. And so that's always been my position. I mean,
I don't think anything comes close to what they had in place. It was just so sophisticated. And Manfred let them off easy, but has been on record in the last couple of years saying he wish he did strip them of the...
I am aware of that.
...of the title. So is what it is. I mean, I forgave him. And just for the record...
Forgave him. He's an Astros fan.
Altuve and Reddick did not use the trash cans. They thought it was hurting them. It messed with their game. Now, if you
went, right, Altuve used the buzzer.
I don't think he was wearing a buzzer.
Come on.
He was wearing a buzzer. Are you kidding me, Terry?
I don't think he was wearing a buzzer.
Terry, call the cops.
Terry.
Call the cops, FBI, everybody. He blocked it with his shirt. When he was rounding third base, he was legitimately holding the sensor because he knew they were going to try to rip his shirt off and he didn't want to be exposed. Are you kidding me right now? How are you going to defend that?
The reason he gave, and I believe him, and he showed it too after the fact, but he had like an unfinished
tattoo.
Yeah.
I believe that. Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't want the trash cans, why did he want the buzzer? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Because the buzzer was subtle.
In different ways. Yeah.
Charlie, the answer is very simple here. The buzzer was subtle and no one else knew of the tell. If you're banging a trash can, anybody that can hear it hears it, and eventually people are going to pick up on it. No one knew about the buzzer affixed to his chest. Like, duh.
I don't think he was wearing it. I had a tweet.
Terry, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How many Astros jerseys do you have?
I should have a Verlander jersey because he is my favorite non-Red Sox player of all time. But I don't have any, unfortunately.
So I'm just reading something where someone said, just make sure they check. This is something totally different from the Astros. Just make sure they check Gleyber next year's left leg. Yankees use two video guys and hide one in bullpen with live feed. What are the odds that that's true? That's damning right there. If that's actually true, that account actually got deleted. So I don't know. That's pretty wild. But I just sent you guys a couple of pictures of when Jose Altuve was wearing a buzzer, Terrence. Come on. You're not going to still try to tell me like he wasn't. He was. I've never seen someone so adamant to not have a shirt ripped off because it made his wife didn't like it or whatever BS excuse he came up with that day where he's like holding his jersey in. He just could not afford to get caught. It makes no other sense otherwise.
Terry, you have an obligation to the Bastards of Boston Baseball to retweet or post tweet, whatever it's called, these photos that Charlie just sent us. You have to. Because it's part of the discussion, 100%.
And that's Reddick with what looks like possibly a buzzer there behind his tattoo. And, I mean, there's just really funny behavior. Like, look at Altuve's numbers. If you look at the playoffs that year, look at his numbers at home, and then look at Jose Altuve's playoff numbers away. This is honestly something I want you to look at. Jose Altuve, I don't know if we have a way of breaking it down. Buzzer playoff numbers. There's got to be a way to look it up. But his postseason stats, like what they were at home and what they were away. What year was the buzzer year? 19?
19, yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can find... Because you and I agree on all sorts of fun stuff on and off the record, on and off the pod. This is one that I will go to my grave disagreeing 100%. This guy definitely did something. He knew what he was doing. No one's going to change my mind.
It just doesn't – the trash can thing worked. The whole team embraced it other than Altuve and Bregman. And it's just far-fetched to me that they would embrace that. And they were getting away with this from 2017 through 2019. It wasn't like something they did for just a few months. It was a system that was in place, and they never wanted to use it. So, yeah, I was just looking at
I'm looking at his numbers at home. And I'm looking at his numbers away, and he's got a lot of hits at home. Not to say he doesn't have a lot of hits away, but the hits at home are just...
Well, I mean, Minute Maid is a bandbox anyway.
A lot of hits. I mean, I could break this all down. This could be a fun little, you know, side assignment here for me. But it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. I'll go to my grave defending Altuve on that one. So
he's half your Terry. He's like literally my size.
He
don't even defend that man. He doesn't deserve it, especially after that ejection, that ridiculous ejection. I'm just all anti Jose. I can't stand that bum.
One of my favorite tweets of all time was right after it happened, because remember Chapman was standing on the mound laughing like in shock.
In shock, yeah, so, yeah, I'll never forget that, yeah.
So I said, you know, Altuve hits the walk-off. I laughed, Altuve laughed, Chapman laughed. I was like...
I mean, it was crazy. And that was... what game was that? Was that game six, I think? It was game six, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite... I don't know where you stand on him, Jeremy. I'm a big Joe Buck guy. I love Joe Buck's postseason, you know, broadcasting.
I'm a Joe Buck guy. How could you not be?
Yeah. Oh, he gets a lot of flack on social media, but that's one of my favorite non-Red Sox calls in postseason history when Altuve walks off Chapman.
Joe Buck guy.
Yeah.
Good like in him. Football, too.
Joe Davis has taken over, and he has kind of grown on me, but he just doesn't have the drama and intensity that Buck has.
Yeah, you gotta wait though. How old, Joe Davis is like 35 or something.
Yeah, he could get to that.
So
one.
My favorite play caller of all time is Sean McDonough.
Sean, I met him in Toronto. He's a good dude.
More than Orsillo, even.
Don's my
because
guy.
Sean McDonough, who called the playoffs in hockey, is uniformly the best crossover play-by-play guy in the world. I mean, he's unbelievable. Okay. Baseball, all of it. He's unbelievable. That's my favorite guy. Anecdotal. I don't want this to go on longer than it has to.
Cool. That's fun. We're at an hour now, so.
Yeah, it's been a fun one. So that's going to do it for all of us here from the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.